With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Bills 8 days away from their first training camp practice at St. John Fisher College in Rochester, but NFL training camps are opening this week. The Denver Broncos have rookies and veterans reporting today. They become the first team to hold a full team practice tomorrow morning. Denver is going to play in the Hall of Fame game against Atlanta on August 1st. Also today, rookies report for the Arizona Cardinals, the Baltimore Ravens, and Seattle. By the end of the week, the Falcons, Lions, Saints, and Jets will welcome their first-year players. Several teams staying close to home for camp, but 10 teams, including the Bills, still going off-site for their training camp, holding camp away from their facilities. Hockey news, Seattle's new NHL franchise has its first general manager. Hall of Famer Ron Francis will be named the expansion team's GM, according to ESPN in Seattle. Francis will get a multi-year contract from the team, expected to make the hire official later this week. The expansion Seattle franchise set to begin play in the 2021-22 season. They'll be the NHL's 32nd team. Bison's home this afternoon. They pushed back the first pitch for today's game until 1:30 because of weather considerations. TJ Zoich on the mound for the Buffalo Bisons. Home against Charlotte, again 1:35. Scheduled first pitch for that game at downtown Salem Park. And the British Open starts tomorrow. Rory McIlroy looking to end his drought in the majors, but he's got some competition for this weekend's Open Championship. McIlroy, the Northern Irishman, seeking his first win in a major tournament since the 2014 PGA Championship. He's had a long drought since then, but he'll have to fight out challengers like Brooks Koepka, Gary Woodland, and many more. British Open begins tomorrow at Royal Portrush Golf Club in Northern Ireland, first time in 51 years. The British Open has been in Northern Ireland. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, hour number two of the show. One Bills live from One Bills Drive. The Bills getting set this Sunday to make the debut for the second year of their series, their digital series, Embedded, Buffalo Bills Embedded. It starts Sunday. The Pagula Sports and Entertainment digital series that debuted last year, returning for its second season. It will air in its entirety this Sunday, 7 p.m. on the Bills YouTube channel. Buffalo Bills Embedded with a unique all-access look at behind-the-scenes goings-on for the offseason for the Buffalo Bills with a different narrator this year. Guess who's narrating this year's season of Embedded? Take a look and listen.
Getting Kyle Williams to retire and bringing some new players in. He got him out of there. Addition by subtraction. But I'm back.
You just want me to read these one at a time? We ready?
Yep.
All right. There's no single blueprint for success in the NFL. I am reading, and you're not. You could wait until I got done.
Who wants to hear the twangy, drawn-out IGHTs of somebody from the South?
I'm going fast enough where we can get the show over with. They don't want to watch the show for 30 minutes.
All my friends in Buffalo are going to be like, who is this clown they had to narrate Embedded? Get him off of there. Get us a good voice.
That's a wrap.
Kyle Williams, the narrator for Season 2 of Embedded, the former Bills defensive tackle, 6 Pro Bowl appearances, and Kyle Williams is on the line with us live right now. Kyle, I got to say, you sound a little bit like a narrator prima donna during that little clip we just ran. What's going on? That doesn't sound like you. Hello, Kyle. We lost him.
Oh, there you go.
He hung up on it. I said he sounded like a narrator prima donna.
Is perfect.
We'll get back. Did he really hang up?
Well, no, he didn't hang up.
You sure?
That's Jay hanging up on him, probably. He's driving. Kyle was driving someplace, and it's hard to keep this connection up when the guy's on the road. Kyle, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. For some reason, my phone doesn't want me to talk to Don today.
I didn't call you a prima donna. I said you sounded a bit like a prima donna. I know you're not.
Oh, I'm a total prima donna. I've totally changed. Retirement has done wonders to my ego and my attitude. Be careful.
It gives me a great idea for you're in my retirement, Kyle. We can come up with an app that won't let you talk to John Murphy on the phone. It's perfect.
Oh, I've actually got his name saved as do not answer because it will take an hour. But, you know, I'm okay with that today.
How did you get recruited to be the voice of Buffalo Bills Embedded? How did that go down?
I don't know. You know, I was asked, and I'm such a nice guy. I said, yeah. And then I hear myself on there, and, I mean, let's be honest, I'm no Morgan Freeman, so I don't think so this is probably going to be my first and last forte into that. Uh-huh. I think, like you heard, you know, that the IGHTs and the long words, you know, from somebody from the South can it's not really what you're looking for, I don't think, on a voiceover, but we had fun.
I know that the Embedded has not been released until the last of this month, but have you seen
this Sunday.
Have you seen any of it?
I haven't seen any of it. I know some of the lines. I was kind of coached up while I was reading a particular line that, hey, this is what's going on in the scene, but I haven't actually seen any footage of it.
You said IGHC. What are we talking about? Like the word fight or right?
Well, I mean, I think if you hear right, lie, all those, you know, it seems like people from the South, we like to drag out the IGHT, make it a little bit longer than it normally is.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things we're going to see in this year's Embedded, it has to do with the guy that was brought in to replace you, Ed Oliver. They're going to show us parts of his interview at the Combine. Any thoughts about, do you remember what your interview was like, or what do you expect us to see from a guy like Ed Oliver?
You know, I remember a couple of interviews from the Combine. You know, some of the questions and some of the answers, you know, I'm not real sure how they would play from my personal perspective. But, you know, with him being a high draft pick and the things that they're talking about, you know, I'll see it for the first time like everybody else. So, and I'll be interested to see what they asked him, what his answers were, and all of that. So we'll all find out together. Just because I narrated, I haven't had an inside look at it.
Kyle, those embedded cameras were everywhere during this offseason, in the meetings at the Combine, they're at the Senior Bowl, they're in the draft room. It's different than when you came into the league in 2006. What kind of an impact do you think it would have had, you know, at your Combine interviews, if you knew that there were video cameras in there recording what you were saying, what was being asked of you, for later playback in kind of an entertainment format? What would you think of that?
Well, you know, I think even when I was coming out, you had people that coached players up or, you know, helped players prepare for interviews, et cetera, et cetera. And I can only imagine that it's gotten worse now with the access and, you know, kind of pulling the curtain back on every facet of life in the NFL, you know, getting ready for the draft, in the locker room, all those types of things, which are, they're great for fans and people kind of on the outside looking in to really get a view behind the curtain of what it is. You know, I think for me, if knowing that everybody was watching and listening, like for me, I would probably be a little more tight-lipped than I normally would have, but that's just my personality. Some of these guys, you know, they look at that as an opportunity to shine and be on camera, and you're going to get a full look at a lot of guys' personality that way.
Kyle, on the heels of your retirement a year ago, the league, the NFL, the Buffalo Bills led the NFL last year in the least amount of games lost to injury. And then this last offseason, they built this new facility. Did you get a chance to walk through that? And talk to us a little bit about, you know, do you think that kind of facility and the philosophy behind it is a big difference maker for a team?
I think, number one, I have had a chance to go through the facility, and it's incredible. An opportunity for guys for everything that they need to be at their fingertips, where they don't have to outsource any kind of treatment, any kind of nutrition, any kind of workout. And I think that's kind of the master plan if, you know, you're talking to Sean and Brandon and Terry and Kim, is we want our guys, we want our athletes to have everything at their disposal, so they don't have to go anywhere. So we can control, you know, maybe control is not the right word, but or maybe we can offer them everything that they may need here in this building so they want to be here, so that they don't have to go elsewhere. And then if you look at it from another perspective of guys coming in from around the league that may have been an organization that maybe doesn't, you know, supply that or have that for the players to come into a place that says, hey, we've got everything you need to be successful here. on every facet of the game in the facility, and that will attract guys there as free agents and so on and so forth.
Kyle, the Sports Performance Center and the videos out there now, and people are becoming aware of it. Do you think, you mentioned how they don't want players going elsewhere. Is that so good that it could change players' off-season plans? Like maybe, well, you know, why would I go to my hometown or go to Atlanta or go to Southern California? Because the workout stuff I need is available to me right here in Orchard Park, even through the Orchard Park winter. Do you think guys' positions on off-seasons might change?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, guys are still going to take their time off early in the off-season, but what you're going to do is you're going to see guys that may have split time or may have not been around much at all are going to look at that place and say, I want for nothing here. And you can also be with your team at the same time. So, you know, you've had some guys who are like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'm going to get a better opportunity or better workout here or better chance to perform here, but I'm sacrificing time away from my team. Well, at that place and with the strength staff with Eric Ciano and Hal Luther and those guys having staff on top of the facility, you literally want for nothing. So in the performance spectrum, there's nothing that you could possibly want that's any more than that is. Then you have the added bonus of being in your community with your team and in a state-of-the-art facility. I mean, I really don't think it gets any better, than that.
Yeah, Kyle, I've said that it's kind of a paradigm shift from where it was. In some places, it's still this way, but it used to be everywhere that if you're hurt, you know, you can't make the club in the tub, that kind of thing. If you're in the training room too much, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be, it's going to count against you. But it seems like there's a paradigm shift here in Buffalo, whereas they expect you to go in for every little ache and pain to get it taken care of so you can get on the field. Of course, you can say that it paid dividends last year in the fact that, you know, nobody got, and I'm not saying nobody, but they lost the fewest games to injury than anybody last year. But is it a tangible difference from a team that has nothing like they do here in Buffalo, that this a different, you know, the old time philosophy of tape, you know, is there a tangible difference when you get on the field on a Sunday playing for an organization like that?
Well, I think number one, as far as that goes, you have to look at Eric Ciano and Hal Luther, what they do with guys in the weight room preparing them for the year. And then you look at Nate Bresky and Chris Fischetti and Joe Mika and those guys, what they do in the training room from treatment and physical therapy standpoint on how it's not just a facility that
I think Kyle just went into a tunnel.
We lost him again. Kyle Williams on the line with us. We'll get back with him in a second. He is the narrator this year for season two.
You have that facility that makes all the difference in the world. It says, hey, you know what? We don't want you only coming in here when you have something that's threatening to lose time, lose a game. We want you to be preventative, and we have all of this at your fingertips to not only heal and get better from something major, but to prevent injuries, to, you know, perform better and all of those things. And that's what the training room is really about.
The video of the Sports Performance Center, the behind-the-scenes video, a big part of Buffalo Bills Embedded that Kyle is the narrator for this year. There's a lot more to it, though, Kyle, including off-field pursuits, you know, Jordan Poyer fishing, Lorenzo Alexander working with kids, Josh Allen at dinner. It seems like players, maybe it's a different generation than when you came up even, but players are receptive to cameras following them around a little bit during their off time, during their downtime. Did you see that happen during your career?
You know, I think it's like I said earlier, with, you know, the prevalence of social media and cameras and, you know, really pulling back the curtain and getting a look at these guys and time together and time alone, you know, it's really a unique vantage point for fans and people outside of the team and of the organization in general to get a look. Yeah, different, but they're more exposed or comfortable or whatever you want to call it with that because they kind of grew up in it. I mean, I came in the league, I had a flip phone. There was no such thing as, you know, iPhones and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. You know, I've kind of indoctrinate myself to it, but these guys grew up with it. It's just kind of part of their life and who they are.
Is there any part of the league that changed for you during your career, 13 years from 06 all the way up to the present day, almost to the present day, is there anything, any changes that happened in the NFL that you regret, that you think were a bad idea or that you wish wouldn't have changed?
We might have lost Kyle again, having trouble keeping that connection up. Kyle Williams, the narrator for Buffalo Bills Embedded Season 2. You can catch it starting Sunday, 7 p.m., this Sunday, July 21st. It'll be up there for a while on the Bills YouTube channel. Go ahead, Steve. Ask that question.
Yeah, Kyle, up until you were in your 13-year career, I mean, the league evolves year by year. Are there any things that changed that you remember changing during your career in Buffalo that you wish never would have changed?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I don't know how to answer it. I know, like, when I first came in the league, everything was such power-oriented, power run game, play action, all those kinds of things. And, you know, now it's such a spread game, and everybody has to be mobile and be able to play in space. I think I've seen the game change that way. But, you know, I don't know that there's anything that I would have changed. I got to see a lot of different things. I got to experience a lot of different things. I got to see the city kind of take off again and play for a lot of different coaches. So, I mean, I try to take, have a silver lining of everything I saw. That would be something that require a little deeper thought than, you know, just a quick question today.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, we had you in here a couple weeks ago, and I think at that time you had already played in this offseason in the four-ball championship, did well. And then this past week you were in the big celebrity golf tournament, the American Century Classic, out in Lake Tahoe, and acquitted yourself very well, right? It was, what is that, modified Stableford scoring, but you were in, I think you were in the top 10 at the end of the tournament, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, I played not very well the first day. I played well the second day, and I didn't play well at all the third day. Ended up finishing right there. I think that, you know, the greens are a little tricky, and I think with a little more time I'll be able to do a little bit better, but it was such a fun week. We took the kids out. We hiked. We got out on the lake, enjoyed some weather other than Louisiana weather, which this time of year is absolutely brutal. So it was a great week. Got to connect with some old friends. Saw Josh out there amongst other guys, and it was just a fun week for our family.
Yeah, it always seems like it's a great event. You get a chance, and I think one of the fun things is the fact that you get a rub up against athletes from other sports. Who is the most interesting athlete you met other than a guy that played football?
Well, you know, I played the first day with Bobby Flay, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
My 10-year-old daughter is there, and she knew three people at the event. She knew her dad, she knew Josh Allen, and she knew Bobby Flay. Of all the people, all the athletes, Justin Timberlake, all these people there, she knew nobody except for her dad, the guy on his team, and Bobby Flay, because she loves watching the Food Network, and she loves the show Throwdown with Bobby Flay. So we're talking one morning before we tee off, and I told Bobby that. He goes, oh, I can't wait to meet her. So my daughter got to meet Bobby Flay because she loves Throwdown with Bobby Flay. He was so gracious with her. But, you know, got to play with some football guys, a chef, a musical artist, Jeremy Roenick on Sunday, the hockey player. So it's really a fun event where you get to be around highly successful people, not just at football, but at their sport, in their careers. And it's just a lot of fun to see how, although we may not play the same sports or really play sports at all, but, you know, how the wiring is very similar in guys that, you know, are go-getters and successful in their field.
Hey, Kyle, you made mention a minute ago about the brutal Louisiana weather this time of year. And I'll be honest, I was thinking about you and others I know in Louisiana when the hurricane passed through there. Did you guys survive okay? Any damage in your part of the state down there?
Yeah, you know, a little bit of flooding, some trees down, but, you know, it could have been much worse. And, you know, the bad thing is it's really early to get that kind of storm to come through. So kind of looking at the rest of the calendar, hurricane season with your fingers crossed. So so far, so good through that last one. But, you know, we've got a long way to go through hurricane season this year.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I know that as you kind of get used and settle into your retirement life, I know you're still getting accolades for your playing career. You were named to the all-retirement team in the National Football League. All the guys that retired, I think, this past year were put on an all-retirement team. You made the cut, I guess. You're the top defensive
finally.
Tackle.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, my career is complete now. I'm so happy.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about your next career? You did a little work with NFL Network. What's in the works here for you, Kyle, as the season sort of ramps up here in the next couple of weeks?
I'm doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Really, nothing solid. Kind of at my own leisure, and I think I kind of told you last time. You got to keep your eyes peeled. I may pop up anywhere.
Yeah, you gonna pop up at training camp? Any plans to head to Rochester?
I may pop up at training camp. You never can tell. Like I said, I may make an appearance up there.
All right.
Yeah, they had to drag me back to training camp with a team of mules. I wanted no part of it.
Well, they would have to they'd have to drag me up there if they thought I was going to put a helmet and shoulder pads on. But the opportunity to go up there and point and laugh at guys while they're practicing, I don't have to do it. Yeah, I may take advantage of that.
Always the team player. Way to go.
That's right.
Hey, Kyle, thanks for being with us here today. We enjoyed it. I know you're going to do. We're looking forward to seeing Buffalo Bills Embedded and the great job you do, despite your repartee with the producers and the clip we showed. But I'm sure it's going to be great.
That was with Derek Boyko and Derek Boyko only.
Okay.
Yeah, he deserves it. Don't look down on me about getting sassy. Boyko, he deserved that.
Yeah, that does change it, yeah.
Thanks, Kyle. Good to talk with you.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. We'll
you
see
too.
You soon.
Kyle right. Williams, Bills 13-year veteran defensive tackle who made 6 Pro Bowl appearances, former fifth-round pick for the Bills in 06 out of LSU, and now a new gig for him this offseason. He is the narrator for Buffalo Bills Embedded, Season 2. It returns this summer, Season 2, on the Bills YouTube channel, Buffalo Bills Embedded, 7 o'clock. The episode's available on the Bills YouTube channel for Buffalo Bills Embedded, Kyle Williams' voice, and all kinds of access to stuff behind the scenes. We're at the end of the offseason now, but I recall at the beginning of the offseason, way back in third week of January, going to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, and part of our crew here, our video crew, in Mobile, Alabama, all they did was shoot those nighttime interviews with players for Embedded. Right. Right. I mean, they were embedded in the interview room and set up their camera, and they babysat that thing. I mean, there's a lot of work, a lot of man hours go into Embedded, and a lot of good people working on it. They won awards for it last year. I'm sure they'll win more this year.
There's some production value in there. Yeah. I mean, it's done. Michelle does a great job putting that together. She worked with ESPN in the 30 for 30s, the Four Falls of Buffalo. She was part of that production crew before she was hired on to PSE. So she's got some experience in doing those behind the scenes, epic kind of big production things. And this is, by any standard, I mean, there's not too many teams that have the kind of wherewithal that this one does to put people in the field that will cover this. I mean, they got the camera power, they got the shooters, they got the editors, they got producers that know how to put it together. They really put in a lot of effort to this Embedded program. It showed in the awards they won last year. And I think there's no question Bills fans eat that stuff up, because you get a chance to see guys behind the curtains when they're being the real thing. They're not, they're not doing an interview in a setting. You're going to get a chance to see Ed Oliver before he was a Buffalo Bill being himself. And that's pretty interesting stuff.
Yep. 7 o'clock. You can start eating up 7 o'clock on the Bills YouTube channel, Buffalo Bills Embedded Season 2. All right. The question of the day for the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? Let us know what you think. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550, or send in a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. Come on back. We got a long way to go. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Kyle Williams, the narrator of Buffalo Bills Embedded this Sunday, 7 o'clock on the Bills YouTube channel. He just joined us. If you missed that, it will be available on our website, buffalobills.com, later on today. Question of the day, for the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? Trying to boil it down to one thing, the most important thing. We got some tweets in here. Matt says they need to be consistent on offense. They cannot put 17 points and expect to win. I would think 21 to 24 points per game is not only a big step, but a playoff pusher.
I think that's a great
Yeah.
That's a good tweet.
I think 24-plus, though, point-wise.
Yeah, I think 24 points is the number. Most teams will tell you they'll have a winning record or at least a 500 record if you can score 20 points a game. Because defenses will say we should win if we can hold them under 20 points.
Yeah.
And statistically, that's probably generally true. But, you know, we've all seen teams win 14-10 or 13-12 like the Bills did last year.
Got a call on the line from Corfu. Who do we got here? Who's on the line with us? Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Bob, how are you? Good. Thanks for calling in. What do you think?
Well, first let me just say, Merv, nice show. I love you guys.
And love you too, Bob.
It was such a pleasure watching you play, brother. I'm 60 years old, so I watched you your whole career.
Yeah, you now.
You're talking to me? Okay, good. Cool. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Oh, really? If we had 22 players like you every Sunday, brother, we'd be the next New England Patriots. That's a fact.
Back then, the Patriots weren't that good, so you're not saying much. So, yeah. Go ahead. What do you think about this team, Bob? What do you think the Bills, to make the playoffs, what must they do?
Well, like he just said there, it's definitely consistency. You know, we can't play like rock stars one game where we look like we belong in the Super Bowl, and then the next game we look like we don't even belong in the league. And being a fan, you know, that's very frustrating. You look forward every Sunday to watching you guys play, and then all of a sudden that happens, and it just frustrates the heck out of you and the whole city. And I can't imagine what it does to the coaches.
Yeah, can I say this, Bob? And you make a really good point. I'll give you that. But you know what? And Steve, you may agree or disagree with this. I'm going to say it. You know what I think is underestimated? How bad the other team wants to win, too. How hard they've worked. How much they need to win. And that's kind of what – I don't think it's a lack of effort on any one team's part more than it is like, whoa, they really came to play today, or whoa, we're working hard, they're working hard, and you know what I mean? I think that's more of a factor than people anticipate. You look at records as old. I was thinking today about those two Jets games, and actually, more importantly, I was thinking about the Dolphins games and how those will be approached by the Bills, and more importantly, more to the point here, by their fans. The Bills host the Dolphins on October 20th and play about a month later in Miami. And I was thinking the Bills are going to go into those games and the fans are going to think, well, we got them. It's the Dolphins. They're not good this year. But you know what? We underestimate how hard people play, how good teams are, even the bad teams.
Absolutely.
And how hard they play on
a regular basis. Think about the Buffalo Bills going to Minnesota last year after getting crushed.
Incredible.
And then they went in there and they absolutely hit the Minnesota Vikings right in the mouth. And they won that game. And you've got to show up. Take it from me. You got to show up every week, and you got to play really well every single week. And that's the beauty of the sport. That's why people watch. You see that. You know, there's emotional content in these games. These guys play for keeps, and they're physically invested in every play. So yeah, that's one of the things that makes this game great. It's the violence. Well, let's face it. I mean, you can say slice any way you want to, but it's big, strong guys pushing against each other, trying to move each other against their will. It's compelling to watch. Yep. And there's emotion in it that sometimes does get underrated.
Yep. Thanks, Bob. Good call. We'll get to more calls in a moment. For the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? Give us a call or send in a tweet. Steve, it's 1:30.
I know, I'm starving. We got to get some lunch. It's what's for lunch. All right. Here's what it is, Murph. I'm going to name the menu items. You tell me which item on the menu you've got to have for lunch.
Name this menu item for me.
This is a chicken wing and a stinky fish sandwich.
Sandwich. Look at that. If you're watching on MSG, it's basically a full fish, apparently still alive, between two slices of Wonder Bread.
And it's got green smoke coming out of it. So you don't.
That is not for anybody's lunch.
Listen, weeks we waited on that graphic to show up.
That's what we got.
That's what we got. I'm loving it. The kids did a great job.
I had, by the way, now I am hungry. In Prince Edward Island last week, two different lunches, fish and chips.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The fish is so fresh.
See, I'm not I grew up in the Midwest in Kansas, right in the heartland.
You would like this stuff.
And I am a beef guy. I'm not a seafood guy.
But when you're there,
fish and chips is my go-to.
Fish and chips, mussels. Yeah, right. You got to get it. Anyway, now I am hungry. So what's for lunch?
So here's for lunch. Here it is. Which one do you want? Which one do you want for lunch? Who will lead the Bills in sacks in 2019? Is it going to be Jerry Hughes, or Ed Oliver?
Who do I want? What do I want?
No,
for
which one do you think is going to happen?
Jerry Hughes.
You think going to eat Jerry Hughes for lunch?
Yeah, I guess.
That's the best thing on the menu.
Little bounce back for him. I think Ed Oliver has a role to play in the pass rush, getting sacks, but even disrupting things more than getting sacks. I think Jerry Hughes has a double digit sack year coming, and I think he will lead the Bills in sacks this year.
I agree.
Could it be anybody else? Are we missing anybody else?
Maybe, but I agree. I think Jerry Hughes is the guy, and I think one of the reasons he's going to do it is because he's going to get some help this year. He's got a little more help. He's a really good pass rusher. He's accepted that the analytics people will go over the wall, stand on the table, and tell you how good he did last year, and I think that's going to come out this year. Here's another menu item. Jameis Winston's going to have a better season than Marcus Mariota, or Marcus Mariota is going to outshine Jameis Winston.
You want me to go?
Yeah. What's your menu item?
I don't like either one of them. I wouldn't order. I wouldn't pick either one of them on the menu.
Is this not your main course?
No. But if you ask me if I had to pick one or the other, I guess Winston. I think he will benefit from Bruce Arians' coaching and maybe a little bit better talent base around him in Tampa. But boy, I wouldn't want either one of them. I really wouldn't. I would pick Winston ahead of Mariota, but. I wouldn't be excited about it.
Here's the thing, and I tend to do this a little more generally speaking than you do. Marcus Mariota is an awesome teammate. He's a leader. He's an example setter. And the organization has jumped on board with him saying he is our guy. I mean, the head coach has said, I'm going with him. He's going to be our guy. Not so much in Tampa Bay, with a quarterback who's been suspended once or twice. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. Both these guys are in that boat. But Jameis Winston has something to prove to his teammates as well as all of us. Marcus Mariota really just needs to go out and do it. And what you said I hadn't thought about, Bruce Arians, it could make a difference for Jameis Winston. And Marcus Mariota in the second year, same system with the offensive coordinator that they have there and the head coach in Vrabel. Little stability. I think I'd take Marcus Mariota just because I think he's got in a more stable setting. Even though I think Jameis Winston's change that's coming with Bruce Arians will help him, I think Marcus Mariota is a guy who thinks he's in his right spot. I think he thinks Tennessee is his team. So I think I'm going to take Marcus Mariota, not Jameis Winston. So we
I don't like either one of them.
All right, we have different tastes in that one. All right, here's another one. You like Aaron Rodgers better with Mike McCarthy, or do you like Aaron Rodgers better with Matt LaFleur this year? They won a world championship with Mike McCarthy.
I like Mike McCarthy. I got to say,
deep in the playoffs.
It went terribly off the rails last year. Aaron Rodgers, I think, needs help. He needs better players around him. I think he needs to be a better leader for that team, right? At the risk of rekindling the Kyle Williams slur, not a prima donna. They don't need a prima donna quarterback. And Rodgers is supremely talented, but I think he has a bit of an attitude that does not serve well around his teammates. And I think Mike McCarthy tried to keep that in check for as long as he could. As you said, they had championship caliber teams. I don't know if they have that anymore up there. I like Rodgers better with Mike McCarthy and Alex Van Pelt's leadership than I do what he'll get from an untested Matt LaFleur.
All right, I think it's going to be Matt LaFleur, because I think Aaron Rodgers is smart enough to realize if it doesn't go well with Matt LaFleur, they're going to blame him, and there's no place else to lay the blame at. I think Matt LaFleur is a guy who's going to come in and do some things. I think he's smart enough to challenge Aaron Rodgers and justify what he's asking him to do in this offense. We've all heard about the kind of rift between the freedom that Aaron Rodgers had to change plays and the fact that Matt LaFleur doesn't really like that in his offense. I think LaFleur is smart enough to sell Rodgers on the options he has within the plays called to say, okay, we can get it done. Now, certainly there's a chance that there are going to be some rough times when the game's not going so good and Aaron Rodgers has to trust that play. But I think Rodgers is going to know that a little bit of this is on him. He's going to have to make it work with LaFleur because he really has no choice right now. And I think that's going to be the thing that sets this relationship off on the right foot. So I'm going to say Matt LaFleur instead of Mike McCarthy.
What scares me about that, you assume that Rodgers will take to that sort of intelligent approach and that sort of leadership. I'm not sure that he will.
One of his criticisms of McCarthy was he didn't think he was bright enough to keep up. They lacked innovation in their offense. They were running the same plays 3 or 4 years down the line that they ran for 3 or 4 years. Teams don't do that. They evolve quickly in the NFL, and Rodgers' criticism was that he didn't. And I think LaFleur's strength, or at least perceived strength, is the fact that he's an innovative guy who's going to try new creative things and give them different plays week to week that teams won't be able to predict. So I think that's one of the reasons I think Rodgers will, I think, rekindle his abilities under LaFleur than he did with Mike McCarthy. Okay, last one. We got time for a couple more. I got a couple more. All right, here we go. Who's going to have more wins in 2019, Vic Fangio of the Denver Broncos or Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins?
I think
Vic Fangio, Denver Broncos, John Elway and Joe Flacco, or Brian Flores in Miami?
I think Flores goes into a tough situation in Miami. Questions at quarterback, Rosen or Fitzpatrick. Pretty good defense, especially in the back end, but there's not a whole lot to work with. Broncos only won 6 last year like the Bills. Dolphins won 7, but I still think Fangio, with his experience, I mean, this is a guy who's been around the league.
Yeah.
You've met him. He's not going to like –
He was with Chicago. Chicago's defensive coordinator last year, did an outstanding job.
He and the Broncos will have more wins than the Dolphins will, I believe.
Think about the division they play in, the Denver Broncos with the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Diego Chargers. They may get swept by both those teams. Now, the Dolphins can look at their AFC East, and you got to think – they may get swept by all three of their teams.
Right.
I mean, that's what those teams are thinking. The Dolphins certainly are not thinking that. I thought this was a really good question, but here's the thing. I'm going to take the Denver Broncos because of this. I think Joe Flacco's got something in the tank, and I think Denver's got a better defense as of right now, and Fangio's a defensive guy, so they're going to be in some tight games early in this season. And I think Joe Flacco's going to give him enough with his arm and his ability to sling it. They're going to win some games. So I think the Broncos may surprise some people. I think they'll win at least as many games as they did a year ago, maybe one or two more. They may get to 8-8, 9-7 in Denver. I can't make that same statement about Miami. But I will say this about Miami in their defense. Knowing what I know, which is not very much, I like Brian Flores better than Vic Fangio as a head coach. He strikes me as a leader, guy who will connect with his players better. And Vic Fangio, maybe it's just me as a player, he's an old guy, been in the league for a long time. He's never been a head coach before. There are reasons for that.
Yeah.
There are reasons for that. He put together a nice year in Chicago last year as defensive coordinator. Now he gets a head coaching job. Where's he been for 20 years?
You see the question. It's not who is going to be a better coach, have a better coaching career. Who's going to win more games in 2019?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
That's how I answered it. I agree with you. There's a lot to like about Brian Flores, but
yeah, that's what I did too.
Yeah.
I think the Broncos are going to win more games. Okay. But long term, overall, I like Brian Flores as a coach.
Yeah, that's a different question.
I think. All right, last one. This is hard. I got to take a deep breath. What was the more exciting Super Bowl? 51, the Patriots beat the Falcons after being down 28-3, coming back in the second half and winning that game, or the Giants beating the Patriots in Super Bowl 42. Is that right? 42, I think, or 47. Eli throws the pass
off the helmet.
And the Patriots go 19-1, losing the Super Bowl.
Can I go off the menu? Where's Super Bowl 25?
Oh, I get you. We have to say Super Bowl 25 is better.
I think it is. Most football fans, not just Bills fans.
And I'm not saying there isn't any better. There's others that are better than these as well.
Oh, so I just get these two?
Just get these two.
I'll do 51, Patriots over the Falcons. Didn't like the way it ended, but you know where I watched that game? At a saloon, a bona fide saloon in Arizona. Where was I? No, in Texas. And with my wife, standing there at a saloon. It was a saloon.
Did it have
swinging
doors?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Where were we? It's not Fredericksburg. Something in Texas. I'll figure it out. But I watched that game there, thought I knew how it was going, and then things changed, and you could tell things changed. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't rooting for the Patriots, but I recall saying to my wife, here they come. And they did, mm-hmm. And they won. And that was pretty exciting.
It was a really good game. You have to tip your hat to them. There's no question about it. It was a great comeback by those guys. But I like the other one better. I love the Giants Super Bowl against the Patriots. The Patriots put together a season like none other. You can throw the 72 Dolphins into that mix as well. They were undefeated going into that game, and they were an absolute force of nature. And the Giants, with Eli Manning, that gawky, unathletic quarterback, put together a game and beat him in the biggest stage against one of the all-time great regular season playoff teams of all time and one of the great in the middle of one of the all-time great runs in pro sports history, and maybe the greatest run. It is the greatest run in NFL history from the year 2000s all the way up through the present day by the Patriots. Right in the middle of it is a giant game that crushed them, broke their heart, broke their heart. And I, that for me is makes that, puts that at the top.
I think it has a lot to do with where I watched the game. I was in Fredericksburg, Texas at this incredible saloon, eating amazing food, sipping beers, watching Patriots come back and beat the Falcons. Murph,
that's why it's a lunch menu. You can pick what you want.
It was
that
lunch,
that was what's
too.
For lunch.
Yeah,
that
lunch.
Was it.
Yeah.
Good one.
All right, good. There you go. What's for lunch? We do it. We do it almost every day. Steve takes the helm.
Yeah. We're not gonna. We're gonna say we're gonna do it every day, but when we find interesting stuff, we'll do it.
Yeah, we got to get rid of that Wonder Bread with the
until fish. They sell it, and we have to do it every day. Then it's gonna become a job.
Somebody caught a carp and threw it between two slices of Wonder Bread and put it in our graphic
with green smoke.
Oh, we're back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're up. We're back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. We are a week and a day away from training camp. Let's do this at training camp, Steve. Let's when we get there next week, maybe we do it the day before. Let's predict who's going to be the training camp standouts. You up for that next week? Next Wednesday, we'll do it. Who's going to be our training camp standout?
You know, that's a great one because there's always somebody.
Yeah,
everybody, somebody
under the radar training camp star.
Who was it last year? Sometimes they training camp star didn't even make the squad.
Yeah, sometimes they don't.
Was it Robert Foster for a minute?
He had
it was
a good
like
camp.
A wide receiver. Somebody else too. I don't. I can't. Remember.
But you know what? It'll be fun because look, camp is going to fly by. We do 8 shows. That's all a training camp. We do the 1 week in sweaty Spartanburg, South Carolina, and you know that won't even feel like camp. That'll be different. It'll be a training camp type atmosphere, but not our training camp. It'll be different down there.
Yeah.
Camp's going to be over before that.
It's going to be over.
So let's do that next week. We'll have our training camp predict our training camp standouts.
Right.
I look forward to camp. I do. I look forward to preseason. I'm looking forward to this season, and our question of the day for the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? What do you think? Let's go to the phones and go to Ray. Ray, they must do what to make the playoffs? What do you think? Hello, Ray. That's a nice, clear phone line. You just want to listen to
Ray,
that for a while?
Ray fell asleep.
Twitter, on the tweet sheet from Josh, for the Bills to make the playoffs, they must do what? Josh says, develop consistency in all three phases and win on the road. The defense was relatively consistent throughout the year last year. Just have to build it on offense and special teams. I feel the additions that were made will help that considerably. Let me repeat. If the Bills are to make the playoffs, they must do what? They must, in my opinion, develop a consistent, plausible NFL passing game, which they did not have last year. That means offensive line play, pass protection. That means quarterback play. They got to get more than they got from Josh Allen. That means receivers making big plays. I mean, there's a lot involved in that. But to me, that's what must happen for them to make the playoffs, to have a consistent, viable passing game, which they did not have last year.
Yeah, and that's right. They were, you know, generally deficient on offense last year in their run game and their ability to throw the football consistently. Josh, and we've had some people tweet in and say, you know, he can't play that hero ball. And we all saw that. He was unbelievable last year at times. And to that point, from Brian C. on the tweet sheet, and this is kind of – he makes the point I'm kind of thinking. He says, it all comes down to Josh Allen's development and the offensive line's performance. If Allen plays as good or better than the last 4 games of 2018 – and the O-line comes together, there's no reason this team can't win 10-plus games. The pieces are all there. We just need them to come together. And that's kind of the way I feel about it. If Josh can play as good as he did in the last month of the season of last year or better, man, I think with this offensive line and the new things around him, it's going to be a really, really fun year for Bills fans. Now, certainly – you know, there's a ton of questions that have to be answered, and they're not playing in a vacuum. These other teams are thinking they got better as well. But all of us who saw him play last year, who are Bills fans, now there's some people around the country who, you know, parachute in and watch film and do some of this other stuff. They're not as optimistic as I am, but I'm telling you what, you and I, Murph, we saw him get better week after week after week, and I can't help but think it's going to continue.
Hope
we'll
you're
see.
Right.
We'll see.
Going to talk about Madden. Do you play Madden? Are you aware of Madden? Madden 20 is out there, the new game, and we've got one of the gameplay designers, former NFL offensive lineman Clint Oldenburg, standing by to join us when we come back. Come on back for that. It's One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.